Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
For Philip to hear the angel and the Spirit, he had to have ears to hear, and he had to be listening. The same is true for us today. Jesus said that his sheep hear his voice, but oftentimes we are not listening for him because of worldly distractions. May God give us ears to hear his voice and to obey it. May God give us a hunger and a desire to know Christ and to serve him as Lord. Please open your Bible to Acts chapter 8 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of verses 26 through 40.
Of all of the prophecies of the Messiah's sufferings in the Old Testament that describe the atoning work of Jesus Christ, Isaiah 53 has been called the Mount Everest of them all. And here he is reading Isaiah 53. Here's a lost man seeking how he can know God, and he's reading Isaiah 53. Notice with me, beloved, that it said, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. That's incredible. When Jesus was falsely accused, he didn't seek to defend himself. He could have easily refuted all of the accusations. He answered nothing to the astonishment of Pilate. Why? Because the Son of Man, we know that there in the garden, he's on his knees. Three times he prayed, Father, if there's any other way to save fallen, sinful man, let this cup pass from me. Not my will, but thy will be done. An angel was sent to minister to him. And right then and there, Jesus knew, okay, I'm going to go through with this. So it didn't matter what his accuser said. He knew that his Father's, the will of the Father, was that he would become the Lamb of God to take away your sin and my sin. But I was asking myself a practical question this morning, and perhaps I'll ask you the question, what do you do as a believer when you are falsely accused? Do you go on Twitter and Facebook and say, well, wait a minute, I want to set the record straight. Do you have the faith to keep your mouth shut? You see, because if you've done nothing wrong, there is nothing to defend. And you're just drawing attention to the lie. He opened not his mouth. Jesus said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, right? So Jesus is now, he's all in. He knew why he came into the world. He's going to go to the cross. And so it didn't matter what false accusations were made against him. He was going to be obedient to the Father. And so the eunuch asked Philip, is the prophet speaking of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. An important part of witnessing is opening your mouth. That's free information. He opened his mouth and he began with that scripture and preached unto him Jesus. When Peter wrote his first epistle, he talks about in chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Notice, the grace that should come unto you. The law was given by Moses to do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. Grace, undeserved, unconditional, unmerited favor on undeserving people like you and I. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. They searched the prophets. What manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And the eunuch is reading this passage from Isaiah 53. No doubt he's read Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, it amazes me how many people know the Bible intellectually, but have never been converted transformationally by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. How many of you knew portions of the Bible before you were saved? How many of you were part of a religious system? You took a catechism class, whether as a Protestant or as a Catholic, and you knew all the information, but you never knew the Lord. You see, it's not only enough to know what the Bible says in your head. We're going to see that when this man wanted to be water baptized, Philip is going to say to him, "Do you believe this with all your heart? Are you all in? Do you really believe this?" You see, the vast majority of people do not know why Jesus Christ came into the world. Ask a Hindu. Ask a Mormon. Ask a Jehovah's Witness. Ask a Muslim, and I'm not questioning their devoutness. Just ask them, why did they come? And you're going to get every answer but the answer that is in the Bible. He came to take away the sin of the world. That's why he came. That's why he came. He came to erase that debt of sin that separated sinners like me from a holy God. That's why he came. The Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world, my sin, my transgression, my iniquity, my failures, my shortcomings. He came to take them away that I may be able to come to God through the righteousness and sacrifice of Jesus Christ and be able to call him Abba, Father. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, "Jesus Christ came into the world to bear the full force of the problem of human sin against the holy God. His entire life, from boyhood to the cross, was characterized by the anguish of facing and dealing with sin and death so that his people could be forgiven." There is forgiveness in Jesus Christ today. And as we sang it today, as far as the east is from the west, he's removed our transgressions from us. But you and I, or maybe you don't. I was telling Brother Chris before leading worship, or after leading worship, the first service, I says, "You know, Chris, I have this gift, and I know it doesn't come from God. I have this gift called self-condemnation. I look in the mirror and I say, 'You're kidding. Really? You're forgiven? You are a knucklehead on steroids.'" You have fallen so far short of the glory of God than you can ever imagine. But it's only by the imputed righteousness of God because of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can be made right with God. This Ethiopian wanted to be right with God, and God saw to it that he would be reading a passage of Scripture about the atoning work of Jesus Christ that would be explained to him by a man who was Spirit-filled, and this day, salvation is coming to the Ethiopian like it may come to some of you today. He preached Jesus Christ. Would you agree with me that the world that we live in, the nation that we live in, is really crazy? It's getting more insane every day. Just when I thought I've heard it all, I go, "Are you kidding me? That is nonsense." Who is the only answer to all of the gender and race and sexual immorality and violence and drug addiction and corruption in our government that our nation is being confronted with? Who is the only answer? It's Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Jesus Christ. I'm telling you right now, and I'm not thinking of an elephant or a donkey, it really doesn't matter who wins the election. That is not going to change the course of our nation. You know how the nation is changed? One person at a time. Those who come to salvation by grace alone, through faith alone in Jesus Christ. That's where you and I come in. Where you work, where you live, your family, your neighborhood, you are there as an evangelist for Jesus Christ. You're there to proclaim the goodness and the glory and the gospel of Jesus Christ. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones was asked before he went to heaven What is the greatest need for the church today? And he was concerned over being distracted by this or by that. And he quoted 1 Corinthians 2:2. He says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." That's the issue. That's the ground zero. That's what we need to stay on put. So they go for a little way. We don't know how long they're traveling. And they come to a body of water. And the eunuch said, "Here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" Now, the Ethiopian's request to be water baptized, no beyond of a shadow of a doubt, beloved, was the work of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a tribute to Philip's persuasive salesmanship. You know, it's not how he articulated himself. Remember, beloved, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not a sales pitch. Don't ever offer it as a sales pitch, because Jesus is not for sale. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the proclamation and divine ultimatum of the eternal God, that the salvation and eternal destiny of either being in heaven and hell forever is only given to those who come to him by grace alone, through faith alone, in his Son Jesus Christ alone. That is it. It's an ultimatum. It's an invitation, it's a command, it's a proclamation. This isn't the opinion of God. In the Old Testament, when he wanted to make such a statement, he says, "I bear heaven and earth to record." And there's only two responses, yes and no, to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, not like, "Well, let me think about it." That's no. It's yes or no. And that yes or no determines your eternal destiny, heaven or hell. And so, verse 37, Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Notice, if you believe with all your heart, what's the great commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, it is possible for a person to intellectually know that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. But do we believe with all of our hearts that he died for my sins? That's the issue. Do you believe that with all of your heart? Verse 37 is what the Ethiopian needed to believe with all of his heart in order to be baptized. So it is important that when we do a baptism, that people understand what is required of to be baptized. There is a requirement. Having said that, I must admit that I love the simplicity of Scripture. Here are two men that have not known each other until this day. After this man is water baptized, they may never have seen one another again. Notice what Philip did not say. He didn't say to the Ethiopian, "Well, if you take our church's six-week course for new converts, and then it is approved by the church board for you to become a member, we'll water baptize you." Right? This is Philip. He's filled with the Spirit. Notice how simple. If you believe with all your heart that the Christ of Isaiah 53 is the Son of God, you may be baptized. That is pretty simple, isn't it? He just wanted to know that. Remember when Paul and Silas were put into prison in Acts chapter 16 in Philippi? And what was their crime? They believed in Jesus Christ. Well, they begin singing and praying, and God shakes things up. How many of you know that when the people of God really come together and sing and pray, he begins to shake things up? Now, we normally think, here's how we normally think our mind. Well, I really want God to shake things up with him or with her or with them. You know what? Lord, shake me up. That's what I want. When I'm praying, Lord, I want to get shaken. I need to be shaken up. Maybe you don't. Lord, shake me up. I'm not talking Elvis Presley here, a whole lot of shaking going on. I'm talking about divine shaking up. So the Philippian jailer rushes into the cell where Paul and Silas are. Prisoners are escaping. They say, "Don't worry, nobody's going to get out of here." And then the Philippian jailer asked this question, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Well, listen, How fortunate. We have our church tithing envelope right here. And here's the questionnaire to fill out to become a member. He said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's pretty simple, isn't it? If you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Christ of the Bible, if you believe who he is and why he came, you will be saved because you'll understand that he came to pay for your sins. Saved, delivered, set free. Now, you've probably noticed, because I noticed this, I'm reading from my Bible, and I get to verse 37, and it says, and Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he that answered, and he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So I lift up my eyes and I look, and some of you are going, where's that verse? Exactly. Exactly. John Gill, one of the Puritan writers, wrote this. This whole verse is lacking in the Alexandrian copies of the scripture, in five of the Beza copies of the scriptures, in the Syriac and Ethiopian copies of the scriptures, but it stands in the Latin Vulgate, all of the Arabic versions, and the completion edition, and as Beza observes, ought by no means to be expunged, since it contains so clear a confession of faith that required of persons to be baptized, which was used by the apostles. Now let's go to verse 38. Because that is in your Bible. And so he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went both down into the water, and both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So no doubt this is immersion. No doubt. There would be no need for both of them to go down into the water for any other reason. What is water baptism? It's a public profession that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, and it's a symbol of you being dead to sin, dead to self, buried in Christ, risen with him to newness of life. When the Jews were observing the various washings and purifications, it was all by immersion, not by sprinkling. Okay, so now, verse 39. I just love this. I just absolutely love this. I get such a thrill out of this that if I get a little bit thrill. And when they come up out of the water, so picture this, Tony, picture this. I'm water baptizing you. I baptize Tony in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Up comes Tony. And away goes me. Can you imagine it? Think of this. Now, that's the only time this happened in Scripture. Now, we're going to have a water baptism should the Lord tarry. I'm not expecting or suspecting that anybody is going to call that gets water baptized. And if you haven't been water baptized, you need to sign up. You need to sign up. You need to get water baptized. Don't tell me about your hair. You were baptized when you were 6 weeks old. You need to be water baptized as an adult who confess faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? So, I doubt that the person who baptizes you when you come up is going to fly away. Now, it could happen because it's a biblical present, but I doubt it's going to happen. The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. There he goes. Now, the words caught away come from a Greek word, harpazo. Has that happened before? Will it happen again? Oh, yeah, harpazo. Elijah in 1 Kings 18, 2 Kings 2 was harpazoed. He was taken away. Ezekiel in Ezekiel 3 and Ezekiel 8 was harpazoed or snatched away in a miraculous fish in a miraculous fashion. And 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 and 4, the Apostle Paul was caught up into heaven. He was harpazoed. In 1 Thessalonians 4:17, it was a word used to describe the rapture of the church. When Christ returns, the body of Christ that is on earth and is alive, he's going to catch us up. I'm going to go up. Gone. And Revelation chapter 12, verse 5, it was used to describe the resurrection and ascension into heaven of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is a remarkable baptism. Now, Philip is taken away. about 20 miles north of Gaza to the city of Azotus, and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. Now, one of the early church fathers by the name of Irenaeus reported that this same man preached the gospel to the Ethiopians, by which the prophecy of Psalm 68, verse 31 was fulfilled. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Now, if this was you, Tony, who was water baptized, and this happened, would you be inclined to say, you will not believe what happened when Pastor Ray baptized me? We came out of the waters, and he flew away like Superman. You know, you look into the historical records, the Ethiopian never said anything about Philip being miraculously taken away. You know what he did? He preached Christ. And when Philip went to Azotus, he didn't go there and say, you guys would not believe what God did at my last water baptism service. Oh, my. I'm baptizing Tony. And all of a sudden, boom, I'm away. Incredible. What a miracle. No, he didn't mention anything. He preached Christ. You know what? Thank God for mountaintop experiences. Thank God for experiences with him. Thank God for them. But it's only the gospel that changed lives. The Ethiopian preached Christ. Philip preached Christ. That's the important thing. Yes, that was kind of like a half-hearted amen. These men went out and they preached Christ. Thank God you've had experiences with the Lord, right? Wonderful experiences, glorious experiences. But that experience isn't going to change another person. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You plant that seed and pray that it would be watered, and God gives the increase. All right, so evidently in Acts chapter 21, verse 8, Philip ended up remaining there for quite a while. Remember Philip the evangelist, and he had four daughters who were prophetesses, who were virgins. Imagine being a young guy trying to get a date with one of those four girls. You got three sisters that say, "Now, I don't have a good feeling about this guy," you know, to their sisters. Amazing, amazing, amazing. I just love the scriptures, the simplicity of the scriptures, and yet the power of the scriptures. This is a day in the life of Philip, a day in the life of a man seeking God. This could be descriptive of your life and my life. If when we're in tune with God, listening to him, go here, go there, don't say anything, say something. Just listening. It's exciting. Yes. One person says it's exciting. This is good. This is good. One person says it's exciting. You know what? I heard a survey recently about why more people are not coming to church. And you know what the number one reason was? It's boring. Boring? Boy, I see some of those people on Facebook at a hockey game. They don't look bored. Baseball game, they don't look bored. Concerts, they don't look bored. Come here, huh, boring. There is nothing more exciting and wonderful than whether in a small group, like we had a presence group that got together Friday night. Oh, it was wonderful, wonderful. Just singing and worshiping and rejoicing. Oh, you guys are here now. Yeah, wasn't it wonderful? And to be with you guys, I look forward to being here on Sunday. I really look forward to being here on Sunday morning. And five of you look forward. This is really good. You got one amen, and five of you look forward to being here on Sunday. This is really good. We're hitting home, right? Guys, what exciting times we are living in. All kidding aside. And if you're here and there is any element of doubt as to whether or not you have been born again, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. The Christ of Isaiah 53 is here to forgive you and to set you free. Bless the Lord, oh
my soul, bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.